Let's get to Thomas Taw. He is our guest for the segment. Thomas is head of APAC iShares Investment Strategy at BlackRock, who joins from our studios in Hong Kong. It's always a pleasure, Thomas. Thanks for coming in to spend some time with us. I think we got to talk about this pivot on the part of COVID policy in China. A lot of enthusiasm in risk assets over the last couple of days. Is this a game changer, do you think?
Yeah, good morning. Great to be back. So, I mean, in terms of the turnaround, at least in terms of asset prices, I mean, I'm not sure I've ever seen such a volatile rebound in my whole life. I mean, offshore Chinese tech companies are up nearly 50% in the last 6 weeks. I think there's a couple things going on here. I mean, obviously, the softening of the COVID stance is a huge thing for investors. I think primarily it kind of started with a lot of short covering that was happening. You can kind of see that when you look at offshore Chinese performance versus onshore, where offshore has performed significantly better. Those were kind of the names that were more heavily shorted. So in terms of positioning, investors sort of racing to, number one, cover shorts, number two, get closer back to neutral in terms of their portfolios, because we have seen investors be underweight Chinese equities over the last 2 years. And obviously, with performance going the way that it is since in the last 6 weeks, investors kind of need to chase that in such a difficult year. So I don't think a lot has changed fundamentally. You know, clearly there's going to be a shift to reopening, but it's going to be slow. It's going to be quite hard to predict. You know, what you're talking about, the most populated country in the world, one of the biggest land masses. So, you know, how that road actually starts to unfold, no one really knows. But it's obviously changed the way that investors are looking at China overall. And I think, you know, for our investors, you know, what's happened is not so much a change in fundamental view on China and moving into Chinese equities directly, but investors have actually been buying the economies which are net beneficiaries of the reopening. So Taiwan, South Korea have seen significant inflows over the last 2 months. I think actually November for Taiwan, mm-hmm. Taiwanese equities was probably the largest inflows we'd seen in the last 15 years. So they're trying to play the reopening without moving directly back into China at this point, I think.
Well, we got the MSCI China index up better by 18% over the past month. How much more upside do you think there is to go?
Well, I think, you know, going into the end of the year, it certainly looks to be like this will continue, because, I mean, even when you've started to see a lot of volatility in the U.S. over the last couple of days, investors have continued to buy Chinese equities. So, you know, again, I think this kind of goes into the end of the year. Then investors start to look at how to allocate next year. I think that the message is clear that investors need to have some kind of China exposure in their portfolio. But whether they do that investing directly into China or into Chinese primary trade partners, that's what we're yet to see. So, you know, it certainly looks like an area where investors can put some risk to work, given, you know, our views on the rest of the world, and particularly U.S. equities, where we're slightly less optimistic.
Okay, maybe you see the possibility of a recession here. I think Goldman right now sees a 35% chance of a soft landing. So that gives us, what, 65% that it's going to be a lot harder than that? If the situation in China is going to be a slow and steady recovery, how do you want to be exposed to that? I understand the short covering argument. That speaks to a lot of the price action that we have seen recently. But longer term, I know you get involved with investment strategy, but take a wide shot here. Give me a little of the macro view. Do you want to be exposed to the consumer in China going forward?
Well, that's the play that looks the most obvious at the moment. You know, for our investors, there's a clear differentiation between offshore, which is more consumer discretionary tech. You know, that's, I think, the reason why that's performed so well over the last 6 weeks. If you take the short covering out of it, you know, these are the names which, from a valuation perspective, are very, very interesting. You know, this huge regulatory crackdown we've seen over the last 2 years in the tech space, that looks like it's kind of peaked. You know, we've been saying that for a few months now, but that looks like it's peaked. So those are also the vehicles which are much easier for offshore investors to access, whether that's through ADRs or through Stock Connect or whatever it is, or just going directly into Hong Kong. But onshore, you know, those are the names in terms of the older economy, longer term, that look quite interesting, because that's kind of the way that Premier Xi has positioned in terms of common prosperity, et cetera. And those are kind of the names which are more net beneficiaries of fiscal and monetary easing, which still looks to be the base case for the PBOC. So I think over the longer term, those onshore names look quite interesting.
Let's take a look on the other side of the Pacific. We do get US CPI numbers next week. What signs can you see that inflation might be easing? And do you think there's a risk things could actually end up easing faster than expected?
You know, for us, in terms of the overall framework, we are sort of looking the other way. So, yes, the headline number looks like it has peaked. You know, that's I don't think that's nothing particularly significant. We always kind of expected that. The difference for us in the framework is that we don't see the Fed actually cutting rates next year. So, you know, whether you want to see the terminal rate or whether you think the terminal rate is going to be 5 or 5.25 or 4.85, whatever it is, our view is that the Fed will stick there for 2023. So, you know, looking to this 2% inflation target, we don't think it's realistic. At some point, the Fed will have to realize that 2% is not going to happen. At that point, you know, you might start to price in a pivot, but for us, it's way too early. So we're not actually seeing a pivot next year. We think that the Fed will probably stick, which is why we're less optimistic or underweight on U.S. equities.
All right, so I'm going to imagine then you're going to think that the dollar will remain stable. I mean, maybe a little bit of fluctuation, but we're not going to see a big move one way or the other. But let me pivot to crypto, because I'd like to get your take about the meltdown in FTX and how that's impacted psychology. Can you give me that in about 60 seconds, your view on the connection between what we saw in crypto and investor sentiment as we move into 2023?
Sure. I should probably caveat by saying we don't actually have any crypto type ETFs, but and we don't actually cover it. But in terms of the sentiment, I think it's impacted the retail investor. It hasn't really impacted the institutional investor, which is who we speak to. So, you know, a month ago when this started happening, there were some questions around contagion. You know, equities are up 15-20% since then. So I don't think it's a big deal for institutional investors, but obviously on the retail space, it's a little bit more significant.
Just quickly, we've got a few seconds left. What's your biggest risk heading into the end of the year?
The biggest risk going into the end of the year, I think, is that, you know, we have one, whether you want to call it bad or good data print, like we saw with the consumer number a couple of days ago, and investors start to realize that the risk rally is over and they start to position into next year by selling off the positive returns we've seen over the last month.
All right, Thomas Tor, thanks so much for joining us on Bloomberg Daybreak Asia. Thomas is head of APAC iShares Investment Strategy at BlackRock.